Blog Talk Radio. Everybody, and welcome to Ministry Along the Way Radio. Thanks for joining me tonight. I'm Demetria, welcoming you. I'm waiting for Tanyelle to call in and join us. There she is. Hello,
Tanyelle. Hello, everyone.
Hi, I was just getting started and saying hello to everybody and welcoming them back to another episode of Ministry Along the Way Radio.
Yes, welcome back, everyone, and hello to you, Demetria.
Hi, how's it going today?
It's going okay. It's going okay. Kind of quiet day.
Oh, really? Oh, I wish I could say that. It was not a quiet day, but I'm glad you had some peace.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, You're I'm sure you're going to have a lot to talk about tonight when we're talking about back to school. So I know you're dealing with a little bit more than I am probably around this time.
Oh, it's fun. It's really fun. Yeah. I do like my job. So I can't say that. It does get a little hectic at times. And just to let everybody know, those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, I work at a community college here in New Orleans, and so that's what we're referring to right now. And as Tanyelle kind of alluded to, our topic tonight is back to school. It's that time of year again, folks. Back to school time. Time to pull out the book bags, the loose leaf paper, the pencils, erasers, glue sticks. Yes, it's that time of year again.
Yes, it is. Homework, if folks have little ones, and if you know your own homework, if people are in school themselves, this is scheduling time, right? You got to manage your time around this time of the year.
Absolutely. It's in your best interest if you do. Let me put it that way. Don't put it that way. It's in your best interest, and I think depending on what age the student is, you know, K through 12, maybe that's managed for them more or less. But college age, I deal with, time to start managing those things yourself. Time to start. I'm going to leave it at that for the moment.
Yeah, and you know, you can also start teaching those little ones how to manage that time. I mean, you know, they're probably not knowing what they're doing, but as parents, I'm sure parents have little tricks that they do to teach the little ones how to stay on task and, you know, keep a routine.
I hope so. And I don't want to be negative, but by the time they get to my institution, it's not being done. It's not being done, no. So that's why, I mean, I would love that. In fact, I advocate for that and encourage it. And I was hoping that that would be part of our conversation as the night goes on, because it's very much needful. I mean, by the time you get college age, you're an adult. And I have a lot of parents who kind of still have their hands on everything. And it's not good.
Well, let's just get started right on in here. Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, we can just kind of dive right in. So we want to make sure we give out that telephone number.
The number to the show, if you want to dial in and listen in by phone or add your voice to the conversation, you can dial 347-637-3604 and go ahead and press the number 1 to share your thoughts. Again, the topic is back to school.
Yeah, so I'll ask the first question to you, and anybody else who's listening. Like I said, let's just dive right in because I said something that kind of sparked something in you a little bit. And are you seeing that parents are not taking their hands off and they're still doing a lot of stuff for their maybe first-time college students, first-year college students? I'm hoping it's first year. So what are you seeing out there?
No, it's not only first year, no, ma'am.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, it's not. And that is understandable to a degree. But one thing is, and I want to just make it known, may not be known, when you come to that college office or call even, we look at your student as the adult because we consider them the adult. So we really shouldn't be talking to the parent. We really shouldn't be divulging information to them. And we walk a fine line with that because there's this parent just trying to get things done and do this for the kid. And so sometimes we have to say, have the student call me. And they're not understanding why. So I'm letting you know that we consider that student an adult, and we have to honor that. And we do make exceptions. And you know, there is the third-party authorization that does allow us to see you and to, you know, help you to handle paperwork for your student. But I think that may be something that's necessary to put out there when it comes to your college-age student. First, consider that, once again, I'm repeating it, this is important because we have some irate parents who call in or who come in and visit the campus. We're looking at your child as an adult, and we'll help them find their way. We'll help them. That's what we're there for. But that interference gets there when mom or dad is there. And, Tanya, it's mostly mom.
Well, yeah,
and
it's
mostly mom with sons. So that's
it is mostly mom.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. You know, I have two comments about that. One, just in response to what you're saying, is that, you know, I just notice a difference anyway with students and young adults now because of the social media, and it's just truth, you know, that personal interaction, sometimes they're lacking, like, you know, that contact, talking to someone, knowing how to speak up for themselves, what have you, because it's, you know, everything is so, let me text you, let me speak to you on Facebook or whatever means that they're using. And then the other side of it is I remember starting out as a first-year college student, and I know you can probably remember, and, you know, I didn't go by myself. And I remember parents on that campus, and, you know, and they were asking those questions, just as you just described. My parent was asking questions just as you described. But it came to a point, like, where I remember so well. I graduated from Southern University in Baton Rouge. Woohoo, SU. And I just remember all of my paperwork wasn't ready. It wasn't there. It wasn't prepared. I didn't have a room. You know, the room that they had given me when I got to it, someone else's name was on the door. It was just so much. And financial aid wasn't in order and all this stuff. But my dad left me there. And, you know, because I finally, after the whole day, we got a room, but I still wasn't officially, I didn't officially have a room. Financial aid wasn't officially done, but they found me a room for the meantime until they fixed everything. And I remember him leaving and just a little worried whether or not I was going to get in school because, again, I still had to pay for it and all that stuff. And let me tell you, I learned fast. And the next call he got from me was I was in school. And he said, well, what did you do? Well, I went to the Academic of Student Affairs because I began to ask questions from the other students. A lot of people was frustrated. But I remember a lot of folks being frustrated. I remember people coming from out of state. And, you know, you had parents that were like, what is going on? And, you know, a lot of questions being that registration time is, you know, it can be very chaotic. And especially for people who are coming in from an out-of-state situation. But like I said, it worked out. I had to learn really quickly and learn how to speak up for myself. You know, I would never say parents don't be there at that very beginning because if I'm ever able to have children, I will be there. But you should start teaching early on to teach your kids how to start speaking up for themselves, you know. I'm not a parent. I'm an auntie. And I do it now with my little ones. You know, I want them to speak up for themselves. When I used to drive Maya off sometimes late to school, if she spent a night over by me, and she had to sign in, you know, get the late slip, the tardy slip, and I would let her do that part. You know, go up and tell the receptionist your name. So, you know, just to kind of, just to get her going, just to let her know that you can speak up for yourself and, you know what you're doing, have confidence in what you're doing. But I'm still here, but just have confidence in knowing that you can do this on your own.
And that's, I think that is a good suggestion if I would have one, even when it comes to those college-age students. And I remember doing that with both of my kids. I was there, but you're taking the lead in this. And I was just there, like this shadow. You had to look to me and ask something to maybe try to clarify something. I don't remember that even happening, but that's for them to take the lead, especially at that age. I can't say that enough. I can't say it enough. It's just time. I would hope that it is happening during the elementary school years and junior high and on through high school, but the evidence that I see is it's not. On a wide scale. It's happening some, but on a wide scale, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in high school, you know, to a certain point, it was no more, you know, do you have homework? It was, you know, you're responsible for these things. Of course, both parents kept in tune with grades and things like that, but I started to notice that they were slowly but surely weaning themselves off of, I need to check your homework, you know. And part of it was, I'm just going to say, they didn't know, we got to math, it's like, what is that? And it was like, what is that? And you need to call somebody and ask them for help or something like that, someone in the neighborhood to tutor you or whatever it was. But, you know, was always putting myself and my other siblings in the position to become responsible, and I don't think we're suggesting that parents are not there for their children because you should be, but you know, I can hear what you're saying on your side of it, the administrative side.
It's all part of that process of that child growing up and leaving the nest, which is what we want one day. So this is preparing them to leave the nest. It's got to happen, and want it to happen with as much success as possible, so that we don't have, what do they call them now, the boomerang kids that have to come back home. Trying to prepare our children to stand on their own two feet and be successful in life, you know, once they leave from under our roof. The caller on the switchboard, and invite you to press the number one if you want to add your voice to the conversation.
Yeah. I was going to say, living on campus was one of those things that you kind of learn early on. And I think as the time progressed, I always say that first semester, you know, you're just trying to get the kinks out. And after that, I just remember, you know, you talk to the other students and you find out what should I do here and there. But I won't say that I never called home, because I did when I got in certain situations. I needed to call home. I did. But for the most part, you know, there was no one to wake you up. There was no one to stand over you and say, what are you doing? And things like that. What a great light. And so you are in a world by yourself, not by yourself, but what I'm saying is that you are responsible for yourself, especially when you're away from home.
Exactly.
And and I noticed.
And those people are there to help you. We want to help you, but it's like help us help you. And,
I'm
going to
tell you,
Mimi, one thing that
you can. Go ahead. I want to hear. Go ahead, because I want to say
one
about
thing.
That. Go ahead.
One thing that's always helpful is having the basic information. Like if you know you've been given a student ID number, keep it with you when you call in and just say, okay, this is Bob. My phone number is, you know, and hang up the phone. I mean, you're not helping me help you. How many Bobs are there on this campus, you know? And I could kind of research and figure out what the issue is so that when I return your call, I'll have some information to give you. It's just maturing and becoming more responsible. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to just get this out here, because I don't know who may or may not be listening. It's always good. I don't care if you're going to wherever. It's going to come up one day. You're going to be going to apply for a job. You need to fill in the blanks. You don't need to skip blanks, and especially with information that's necessary. You asked if it was just with first-time freshmen, maybe. No, ma'am. To get a form from somebody who attended school under another last name, and the form asks you that, but you don't fill it in. And then there's this search for this needle in the haystack to find you when you simply could have filled in that blank, and no, ma'am, that's not a first-time freshman.
Sounds like it's been a lot.
It can be, and it can be frustrating, because a lot of times the person on the other side of that phone, on the other side of that counter, thinks you don't want to help them when they're simply not giving you enough information. So that's why I'm kind of thankful to be able to say this out loud and hope that you understand that we need help to help you.
Yeah. And you said something, too, that's really key. There's people here to help you. And I just go back to my own personal experience, and it was chaotic. And a lot of the chaos was on the administration side. I just have to be honest. I love the university that I attended. But sometimes I used to feel like, what do you really want us here? And a lot of times it was really frustrating. I mean, you're bringing a lot of memories back right now, and it was frustrating. Registration, having people camp out at night just to get classes in the next morning, because there was no, you know, the systems now are just extraordinary. But back then we had to go from building to building to get instructor to sign us in on the class, into the class, and obtain a key code. I don't know if you remember that far back, but you know where you went probably was a little bit more advanced than we were at the time. But my second semester, they kind of switched over to the computer system. However, we had to go directly to the registrar office to do the computerized stuff. We couldn't do it away from, on our own computer or something like that.
Right.
So, or over the phone yet. That system hadn't yet started. So it was tough, and you had some really not nice people. I'm just serious. Oh my goodness! I'm telling you, it was some not nice people, and I learned fast. That's what I mean. I learned fast how to speak up for myself, because sometimes it was some folks that I'm like, "What is your problem? Like, do you really want me here?" And seriously. And so I can understand sometimes why those parents were there hovering over. It's a fine balance, and I hear you, Demetria. You know, of course, when you're talking about people who've been there for several years, you should have it. But for those first-time students, I completely understand. Parents, I understand. But there is a shift, though, where students are different now. That face-to-face, that personal contact interaction, holding a personal conversation face to face, it's lacking. You know, it's a huge shift.
It is.
Yeah.
And again, I guess it comes with exposure, like you're saying, what you've been exposed to all along the way. So you mentioned your first experience of being on that campus. Well, to go back to mine, and that was at LSU, I did that whole process by myself. To filling out my financial aid paperwork, to applying to the school. And it that orientation, I drove to Baton Rouge by myself. I remember that day well. And then that, when it was time to go and stay on campus and be there, I remember my mother driving me up, and it was like, goodbye. I filled that whole process myself. I don't remember, like you said, you just find your way, but I know I did it myself. I didn't have a mom saying, did you get this sent in? Did you do this? Or let me check over that paperwork. That didn't happen. And I don't know. I'm just sitting here thinking about that and trying to figure out why it was that way, how it turned out to happen that way. And I don't know. I think it was time. You know, my senior year, it was time to apply to school, it was time to go. And so I just, okay, it's time to do this, and I did it. I don't think I gave it a second thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I need to go.
Well, LaFanya and I talk about that all the time, because just like you explained, even though the choosing of the school, I chose which college I was going to. I did all the paperwork. I requested the tax information from my parents to complete the financial aid application. I did my part. The school just didn't do their part. I mean, it was
mm-hmm.
They would overbook dorm rooms. It was just crazy. But anyway, like I said, I did my part. But we also go further back because, like I said, LaFanya and I talk about that often, that even my junior high school, I chose my junior high school. I told my parents once I left my elementary school, sixth grade, I remember saying, I am not going to the school I was supposed to go to in my neighborhood. I'm like, I'm not going to that school. They fight all the time. I'm not going there. But there's this other school that I know about that some of the kids are going to, and I want to go to that school. And then my parents did the paperwork to obtain a permit. Of course, I couldn't do that at, 13, 14 years old. But they did that. I remember LaFanya sharing the same, conversation experience that she filled out paperwork for her private, she attended private school, but she went with her grandmother to school. I mean, her grandmother went with her to accompany her, of course, and her dad had to be there, but she did most of the paperwork. She did it, and
mm-hmm.
she chose her high school, and she chose her college, and I have a little cousin right now. I call him Wikipedia, and, I mean, this kid, he can have a conversation about anything sometimes. And, I mean, he's already decided his college. He chose his high school. He told his mom and dad which high school he had gone online and looked up the information. And he knew about the schools through conversation with friends. Kids know. If we would just listen to them and empower them a little bit, they know. And they hear where their friends are going. And, you know, and my little cousin looked the information up on the website about the particular school. He liked what he saw. He liked that they had the athletics he wanted. He loved the curriculum part, and which is amazing to me. And he chose his school, Brother Martin, and that's where he is. And so there are still some children that are doing these things, and I think children have it in them. We just have to empower them and maybe not hover too much.
Right. And that's to kind of put me in mind of now, let's go backwards a little bit to school-age kids. We've been talking about the college-age kids from the beginning of the show. Let's go back a little bit, back in age. When we're talking about parents who hover, I just have a question here, and just throwing it out. Should parents help their children do their homework and projects, or should that be left up to the child? It's just a thought that I had in preparing for the show. Do you get the gist of my question when it comes to just the daily homework, those special projects that do come up from time to time? And we can separate those one from the other. Let's just go with homework right now. Should parents help their children do their homework, or should that totally be on the child?
Well, I want to urge that caller who's holding in the queue, if you want to be a part of this conversation, please do press 1. And until you decide, while you're deciding, I want to say that it, again, depends on the school age. And it really depends on if that child needs help, whatever school age. I just really believe it all, and you're the parent here, but I just believe that it should be a balance. And at any age, if your child is requesting help, you help. But when we say doing it for them, no, you shouldn't do all of the project for your child at any age. If all they can do is draw a circle and the teacher said they need to draw a heart, well, you let them draw the circle, but, you know, give them pictures of hearts, you know, and say mimic that. Or,
right.
Or you help them trace whatever the case is. But I still believe that, you know, there should be some assistance if it's needed. And I say that because, like I said, being an auntie and also have been a student at some point, I received that help. And when it was time to wean off, you know, the parents did that. But when I needed help, they were there. They were there. They couldn't help me figure it out. You know, they would direct me to find someone in the neighborhood, literally, someone older to tutor me, to help me out, but they were there. And so I don't think you should not, you should have total hands off and say you do it yourself.
I'm just wondering, no. Because I know that there are some kids who come in with every answer correct because mom or dad helped them get that correct answer. And then there's the other child who comes in with a few wrong, but they did it themselves. And that's kind of where my thoughts were going. So what's better, to come in with it all correct because you had the help, or to come in with some wrong? I did it myself, and I'm presenting this to the teacher, and she's seeing where I am, where I'm lacking. So I don't know if there's a right answer. It was just a thought.
That's a good thought, but, you know, teachers will say that they want parents to be involved, and you know,
but
the schooling shouldn't.
They want?
But I was going to say that the schooling shouldn't stop at school. And again, it goes back to is it all correct because the parent was at home teaching whatever the assignment was to get them, help them figure it out, or did mom just say, you know, child said, mom, what's 2 + 2? And they said, it's 4, you know. Or mom, I'm struggling with 2 + 2. And then the mom sat down, or dad sat down and went over the method of you know, obtaining the answer, mm-hmm. and they got the answer right. So it depends. If, you know, if you're just feeding answers, then that's wrong.
Oh, I wonder,
yeah, that's wrong.
I wonder if a survey can be taken and say, is that what's going on at home? Is mom and dad just kind of reiterating and going back over? And like, I'm just curious because I know it happens. It's been happening forever and a day, and especially when it comes to projects, especially that.
I mean, what did you do when you were You, like I said, you're the expert on this topic right now.
I would not call myself an expert, not even today. I still wouldn't. But I know that I took the time out I have a son and a daughter, and there were certain things that I knew they were capable of. So there was a time that I saw that my son was struggling, and so I started to make my own worksheets for him for that particular subject and working with him that way. Now, and Ashley will give me a hard time to this day because she says I never helped her with her homework. And there were times when I would start to help her, and then she was just like, never mind, I'll do it myself. And that's kind of my personality, too. Like, let me figure this out myself. So I let her do more on her own. I didn't kind of interfere with that. With Derek, on the other hand, I saw that he was struggling, and I felt like this is what I am supposed to do, help him that way, but not with giving him the answers. No, it was more or less reading the material, and then I just found a way. I just found something that could help it stick. So
right.
So like I said, I'm no expert by no means. And what's crazy is, Derek, by the time he got to high school, he was so ready to be done with school. He did enroll at the same institution that I work at right now, the community college. He enrolled there, and then there came a day when he said, I can't do this anymore. I want to go and join the Air Force. And me being who I am, I'm like, no, we don't join the military. We go to school. So it didn't take me very long, but before I went ahead and just said, okay, all right, he just was not happy and just seemed so discouraged. Well, all these years later, he's gotten a college degree. It's like all of a sudden he just became interested. He saw another path. So he's in the Air Force. He actually has a degree, and he took up school again. So you just don't know. Don't know which way it's going to go.
Well, and then, too, he chose something. He still chose a career path. He didn't. He didn't choose to go into, a learning institution, but he chose a career path, which was great. And it sounds like you were behind eventually the decision because it was a career path. And it wasn't just, Mom, I don't think so. I'm just not doing this, and I want to go, take a job doing, I don't know, or I just want to stay home for a while. I just need to
think. Well, that was
think
one
this.
Of his options that he presented to me. I can go work at a plant or I can join the Air Force. And he already knew I didn't want him to go work at a plant as an 18-year-old. But I just thought that would be a trap for him. Like, this is pretty good money for an 18-year-old. He may never leave. And I did want more for him than that. I wanted him to see a bit more and be exposed a bit more. And then if he wanted to go work at a plant, by all means, go do that.
Right.
Yeah,
because there's some people
that kind of dreaded. He was one that kind of dreaded school. The further along he got in going through high school and all of that, and I know that there are some kids out there. It's the start of school, and it's like, oh no! There are some who are super excited. Another school year. Yes, I can't wait to get there. And then there are those like, oh no, here we go again. It's time to go. Can't wait until this is over. And I kind of want to speak to the parents of those kids. sometimes they feed, well, a lot of the time, and most of the time they feed off of us and our attitude. So I don't know everything that can be done to change that attitude, but I know us keeping a positive and a right attitude, a healthy attitude, can do wonders. It can make that transition from summer and back into a school year that much easier, instead of it being one of dread and just, I'm so not looking forward to this. So what do you think about that?
No, I think, you just covered a lot, you know. But just going back to your original question, and then I'm going to answer that too, because I do agree with what you're saying, and it's kind of sort of like giving them, you know, don't panic, let them find a way, and if you look panicky and you're beating down their throat, and then sometimes you can steer a child away from things. And then the other one, the initial question about should you give your kids the answer, you know, I think the question you asked, we kind of know that you shouldn't give them anything. And the thing is, if you are one of those parents that are doing like you did and you sat down, you created worksheets to help them figure out the answer, I think that's absolutely wonderful. A teacher would praise that kind of parent because, you know, they want to make sure there's some parental interaction at home, that everything is being reinforced as been taught in school. So I think that's a good thing. When you say that about Derry's experience, I remember this young lady. I don't remember her name, but I remember one of my dorm mates and freshman. This is first year freshman, and she cried so much because she wanted to really be a flight attendant. She did not want to come. She didn't want to go to college, and she was from out of state. I forget exactly where, but probably was somewhere up, somewhere east. But she did not want to be there. And eventually, she didn't come back the following semester. I mean, her parents paid for school. She wasn't what we would call one of those, you know, financial aid babies like I was. And so she was like, they paid for school. And, you know, my dad is really, you know, really bent on me coming to school. But she just really wanted to be a flight attendant. I mean, this girl, she knew everything about flight attendants. She just, that's what she wanted to do. And eventually she did. Now, whether or not she's still a flight attendant, I don't know. We lost contact when she left. But, I mean, a little while after she had gone, but that's what she decided to pursue. She left to pursue that. And, you know, I just think that, you know, there's not a one-size-fits-all. Not every child is going to go to traditional college. And so you just have to know your child, Demetria. I think that's, And one of those things you're probably still learning, one of those things I used to hear my dad say, that he manages us differently. And I'm like, looking at him like he was weird, like, what are you talking about? You manage us differently. And he meant that we all had different personalities, and he could not always do this, you know, treat us the same way for certain situations. You know, you explained by Ashley being a little bit more hands-off with receiving help for homework. I was like that, and I didn't need somebody over me all the time. But at the same time, when I needed help, the help was there. And you just have to know your child. Just, you know, I would urge any parent, just sit back and know your child. And everything will work out. Don't panic. Don't panic.
Yes. Take it all in stride. Now, we're still on the school-age kids, and at least, this can be K through 12. This is another thought, how to maybe deal with those tough situations that come up. Bullying is very popular these days as a topic, and what's going on in some schools. And so your child comes home, and there's another kid, or multiple children, who just won't leave them alone. Very frustrating for the child, for the parent. What can this parent do? Do they tell their child, or you defend yourself? You know, you're talking about speaking up for yourself. How far does that go when it comes to a situation like bullying?
I mean, What same thing? What would you do? I mean, most mothers, I'm just gonna say, are probably gonna say if they hit you, you hit them back, and I'll deal with it. I've heard that being said. But you know, the thing to do is to let the teacher know. Like, you know, the teacher is supposed to manage that classroom. You know, so little Johnny, you know, Jennifer, whatever, your child, period, you know, let the teacher know. And then from there, the teacher isn't dealing with it, and then it's time for mom or dad to go up to that school and find out what's really going on. Because this is not something new, like the question you raised. I'm sure this has happened throughout years after year. You know, we know it has.
There's been bullies before. You know, yeah. You think about, like, the Christmas story. Remember the kid with the glasses who shot your eye out? And there was the bully in that story. But bullies are different these days. I'm sure there's some.
Well, they're social bullies. They're social media bullies. And it goes it goes beyond school.
Right.
You know, these kids get. No, go ahead.
You were saying something about these kids?
No, I said these kids, you know, they get a little, they go a little far. And sometimes some of that stuff happens away from school. But I still wouldn't tell my child, you know, like that. At one time they used to have these things where they would video record fights. And girls would break out in fights somewhere. And that was put on YouTube. And it was a popular thing going on for quite some time. And, you know, I still wouldn't tell my child, like, to take matters in your own hands, and that even in that situation, always defend yourself. But if it's getting to a point where somebody is harassing you like that, you need to let me know. Let me know. You know, things happen too quickly, Demetria. Your kids are, they find weapons so easily now, and they enjoy recording stuff. For whatever reason, they enjoy making their own television shows, and so they like to create drama, and so things get a little out of hand. So I wouldn't suggest, you know, telling your child, yeah, fight them all off by yourself. Let somebody know, seriously. Matter of fact, let me know if I had a child.
Yeah, definitely. And I know some things do happen away from school, but that school is still a source, that's still a resource in your community. And I would say look to it, especially if both students are at the same school. And I would say even if not, I mean, you're here serving this community. And to me, that's a part of community service. I need your help. If these kids are at another school, I need you to help me reach out to the authorities at that other school and resolve this problem. Along with maybe calling in the police department,
mm-hmm.
depending on how far things have gone, or if you have an idea that they may be going further, you know, in a very dangerous situation. But I just jotted down a few thoughts here, and that was one of them. Here's another one.
You had kids commit suicide. I just want to say this real quickly,
mm-hmm.
because this is really important, parents. You know, we've seen where kids have committed suicide because of social media bullying, and kids are embarrassed by what information their friends will put on social media about them. And then later on, you hear of a child who committed suicide. You know, please be involved. You know, I heard Ray Lewis, a former football player, says that at a certain time when all his kids come home from school, he takes the cell phones and the iPads and everything goes in his room. And because, you know, everything is shut down. He's like, I'm paying for it anyway. And then at certain times he checks, you know, he'll ask, give me your password. I need to know what's going on with you. So he'll request passwords from their children. You need to be nosy. You know, I couldn't stand my dad because if I left a note on the floor in my bedroom, he would pick it up and read it. And I thought he was just he was nosy. I'm like, what are you doing, man? And he would do that because he said he needed to be involved. He needed to know what was going on. And it was his house. I'm like, yes, indeed. But it just stay involved. You got to know. You have to know. You know, stay involved and know who your children's friends are in school. And I'll go ahead, Missy.
Okay. So we have a caller. Yes, we have a few on the switchboard. If you want to add your voice to the conversation, please push number one, and I'll add you right in. Again, we're talking about going back to school. It's that time of year for students, parents, families, for educators, and even for the community. We want to hear your thoughts, your suggestions. So please, that 504 call, go ahead and press number one and add your voice to our conversation tonight. You were talking about, Tanya's parents just being proactive.
Yes.
Getting in their children's business and finding out what's going on and talk to them. Just talk to them. A lot of times a kid might say, they might be having a problem with a teacher. No, I don't like my teacher. My teacher doesn't like me. And then that parent starts to look and say, you know what, I don't think that teacher does like my child. You know, I think from there, starting that conversation with the child, why do you feel this way, before we jump to the conclusion that that teacher really doesn't like my child and they just have it out for them and it's kicking on them. Talking and keeping that communication open, I would say on an almost daily basis, if that's manageable in your lifestyle. How did your day go today? How did you do on that test? If you're eating lunch at school and you didn't bring a prepared lunch from home, what did you have for lunch today? Just get the conversation started and let that child just open up to you and find out there might be something else going on. They may just not be grasping the information that's being shared in that particular class. They may need some extra help. Could be many different reasons, but just keep those lines of communication open, as well as the stuff that you were just talking about, Tanya. Like, you know, let me see that note, or you know, that those kinds of things. Keep that line of communication open where they feel free to come and just share with you what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think I would have shown all my notes. I'm just going to be real. I don't think I would have shown all of my the stuff I was writing. So, you know, I don't like.
No, I wasn't saying that you shared your note. I said he picked up your note and read it. That was him that on his own. But I'm talking about leaving that door open so that you and that child, so that you know what's in their heart. Really, what's going on in their mind too? If they kind of think their teacher doesn't like them, you need to dig a little further with that. Why do you think that? Don't just brush that off. Why do you feel that way? And
I have a little confession too. I got asked to leave my niece's class on her first day on Monday. So first day of third grade and new school. And a school that she once was at for pre-K, and we didn't, you know, too much like the school. And her old school has some overcrowdingness going on, so they split kids up. And so she's at a school that's not close to her house anymore, but at any rate, so I'm sitting in there in orientation just like most of the other parents were, and I walk across the street to go get a pencil sharpener, and by the time I came back, all of the parents were gone. But, I still wanted to kind of get a feel of this teacher. You know, I need to know, because the teachers were a little strict on the kids, because sometimes people will label a community of children. Let me just say that, and say, okay, so they're all at this particular public school. They all are, probably from a socioeconomic background. So they may all have behavior problems or whatever the case is, and that's just not right to do that. So I just wanted to kind of feel the teacher out a little bit. And the principal came in to do her rounds, and she says, "Are you staying the whole day?" And I go, No, I'm not. And that was her nice way of saying, like, I think it's time for you to, like, leave, you know. And and I had planned on leaving. I had no intentions on staying. Maya was quite ready for school. She was a little bit worried about the new school, but we had been talking about that once we found out, and like you said, if the parents don't overreact, the children won't. and letting her know that you're fine. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. And we quoted that scripture over as much as needed be her and I. And I'm like, you don't have to fear the new school year, you know. And so God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And so she was like, TD, I am ready. I am not afraid, you know. And she would repeat that scripture. So the first day the bus dropped her off, and when I walked in the classroom, she was like, hey, Auntie, and saw some of her old schoolmates from the old school. They were also transferred. So she is like, she's good. She's okay. And I kind of laugh, like, I got put out. I got to say it. I got put out. And maybe I was hovering a little too much. And I admitted to the principal. I said, I know, you know, my sister came. She drives school buses for the public school system. So she wasn't there as early as I was, but she showed up. And so we had the two of us there. And I said, you know, I turned to the principal, and I had to laugh at myself. It was funny. And I go, I know the kids, they adjust. It's the parents. It's the parents. And she said, yeah, it is. So oh, yeah. I just have to confess. I have to confess.
So we've kind of covered the gamut of K-12. We've covered the college-age students. And I want to give a shout-out to those non-traditional students who are going back to school, who are, we call them a little older, a little more seasoned. But I want to give a shout-out to you and some encouragement to just stay in the race. Stay in the race. Keep your eyes on your goal. Again, the people, the administrators, the instructors, the office workers, everybody's there to help you. And I know you having to go to school at night and work during the day. I know because I've done it. You're having to work during the day, raise your children, just raise and parent your children. And some are married and have to, have responsibilities as a spouse. There's so much going on, and the weight of the world sometimes seems like it's on your shoulders. I know, once again, because I've done it, I've been there. So just kudos to you. Stay in the race. Reach your goal.
Yeah. And I encourage everyone who's listening out there to in your quiet time, in your prayer time, say a prayer of covering, of protection for, persons that are in school. And I just won't say K-12. I mean everybody, because sometimes we've heard of stories where bought in weapons and shot up a classroom in high school or even on the college campus. You hear stories like that. And so we're just, lifting those participants in the educational sector, administrators, everybody involved, that there be peace this school year, and that, we just pray for protection, especially parents of little ones. When your kids are out of reach, I pray for peace for those parents, that you're not in anxiety mode about something happening to your children. So I know I will, and I have, said a prayer for the new school year. So just keep that in mind. Prayer is powerful.
Actually, I wanted to close tonight with prayer.
Okay, great.
So
great.
We're like almost at the close of the show, so we can go ahead and do that now. Father, we just come to you saying thank you. Thank you for this time in our lives to come together and share our thoughts, Father God, on a new school year. We pray for and lift up the students, parents, grandparents, extended families, teachers, principals, vice principals, counselors, librarians, Father, deans, the custodians, the lunchroom staff, Lord God, monitors, bus drivers, crossing guards, Lord, anybody else that I'm leaving out, Father, the school boards, we lift those people up to you too, Lord God, and ask for guidance, school nurses, Father, that takes a special person, And I didn't know how much until recently. I lift them up to you too, oh God. I ask you to just look on everyone. We pray for safety, Father. We pray for good success to come this year, Father. We pray for discipline and the positive attitude, good behavior, Father God. We pray that even when and if problems come up, Father, that they will be resolved with minimal conflict, Father, with minimal harm, oh God. Father, we pray for the communities that these schools are in. We pray that students will have safe travel back and forth. We pray for those on college campuses, those students who are on campuses from out of state. They're away from their families and away from their homes. We pray for guidance for them in choices that they make all across the board, Father, that good choices would be made, Father. We pray that you put people in the paths of all that we've called out, the educators, the students, the parents, who will speak to their needs and speak to their situations, Father God, as situations arise. We trust you and we count on you, Father. We thank you for the good things to come. We thank you for good successes, Lord God.
Amen.
For everybody involved in education, everybody involved, from the least to the greatest, Father. And we thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to give just one more opportunity because we are getting ready to end. And we still have some callers on the switchboard. Going once, going twice. If you want to talk to us, just the number one.
Thanks for listening, guys, though. I really appreciate you all for listening. We really have some faithful listeners. Thank you all so much. Thanks for all the feedback, too. And, yeah, have a good night.
Yes. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Demetria.
I know my parents love me. Stand behind me, come for me. I know now that I'm ready. Oh, I finally up and say, it's a different world.